Welcome to Goddesses Unite podcast. Today we've got Geraldine come back on with us, which is fantastic. Geraldine is the foodie pharmacist, and she's come on to talk to us today about hormones, and especially menopausal type hormones, and your gut health and how your gut health actually affects it. Thank you so much for joining us today, Geraldine.
Thank you once again, Susan. My pleasure to be here. When we're talking about hormones, I suppose if I just start with menopause and premenopause and basically with menopause, it's, you know, we have issues like you get your weight issues, you've got that increase in abdominal fat, and then you get your insulin resistance as well. Besides that, then you've got your hot flashes, your vaginal dryness, mood swings, you know, insomnia and all that. Well, all these, as well as obviously we can link it now as well to other, you know, hormonal issues like your menstrual syndrome, or even, you know, with testosterone women, with, you know, issues and things like that. So all these hormones are really linked to your level of, basically your level of estrogen, your level of progesterone, hormones. So if we're looking at, say, like your weight gain and abdominal, you know, all the mood swings and that, it's really your balance of estrogen you have for that, but not just, but also the balance of it. So there's an area looking at this, which is called estrogen dominance. So this is where it's not just about the amount of estrogen you've got, but it's the ratio of your progesterone to your estrogen. So, and this can happen in anyone. That's when you menopause. I think it's just more obvious in menopause because all the symptoms are showing, because you're not just getting imbalance, but you're also getting the lower levels as well. So, so basically, you know, what causes estrogen dominance? For a start, when you have too much stress and you're not coping long term, you're going to, you know, create more cortisol levels. I think we've spoken about that before. So the consistently high levels of cortisol means that your body is not making progesterone. So while it's pumping its, you know, its resources, that's, so it basically comes from pregnenolone, which is from cholesterol. So what happens is pathways this into making cortisol. So you're then, means that you're not progesterone. Now, so again, that explains one part of it, which is, so you're going to get your estrogen dominance. You're not only getting levels of estrogen in menopause or premenopause, but you're also getting even lower levels of progesterone. You actually need a higher amount of progesterone to estrogen to actually help you eliminate a lot of those symptoms, as well as, you know, for your health. So again, with that low level of progesterone, you're going to reduce your conversion of your thyroid before to make active thyroid, which is your T3. So again, that's going to affect your metabolism. So that explains a bit of your, you know, your weight gain, your abdominal increase and that. So, you know, there is a link between your adrenals, which is your cortisol levels I was talking about. So that's your, what they call the HPA, and your connection to the thyroid, to your, so your progesterone, estrogen, testosterone. Estrogen dominance also, when you have too much, an excess of body, because the more body fat you have, the more estrogen storage, and the more estrogen, then the more body fat is made to, you know, to store it. So again, I'll talk more about where you, you know, about that estrogen dominance, because that's against putting more estrogen compared to your progesterone. One of the ways that we tend to get too much estrogen, excess of estrogen, reducing the ratio against progesterone, basically your a lot of your environment and your diet. So these are called endocrine disruptors. So they can mimic hormones. So basically they can change the whole way your body makes the hormones, how it's broken down, how it's transported, how it's back to other things. So even very, very small amounts of these endocrine disruptors can actually affect your function. So where do we get this from? So get them from your pesticides and your herbicides. So that comes in your food and your water. So your, you know, things like your glyphosates, your dioxins, the PCBs. So either they spray on your food or in your environment. You know, a lot of the shires use glyphosates to spray for the weeds. So it's in your water system. It goes, you know, it goes through that. Personal care, even, you know, more with your personal care, your cosmetics, your what you want, with your shampoo, your conditioners, you're getting a lot through your pores. You know, so things like your phthalates, your parabens, even your perfume, they're artificial fragrances. They're quite a big impact on your absorption. Your system causing the you know your endocrine disruption as endocrine disruption. Yeah. Your pharmaceuticals, so your antibiotics, your birth control pills, they're the most common ones for your food that you eat as well, your meat that's been, you know, injected with that. The other thing is plastics and your cooking. The plastic, you know, your BPA, your wraps, your flame retardants as well. And the cookware, a lot of them are the, you know, the people, the proteins that they use on them, especially your Teflon and that, they come off your food and you're eating them. And they again, are the source of your endocrine disruptors. The preservatives in your food as well. So, you know, We live in such a toxic environment. And of course, all these toxins, what that leads to as well is, besides altering that proportion of your estrogen and progesterone, it also creates huge stress in your liver to have to eliminate this. Now, when your liver is so stressed to actually do this job, it then doesn't leave it the option to actually do the job it's meant to do. To help you, you know, it's meant to do to help you absorb your nutrients better, metabolize the things it needs to metabolize, because it needs to convert things so that you've got usable hormones, and you know, and the list goes on. So, obviously, look after your liver. Another thing is the micro, we touched on the micro a lot in the previous. So, your micro, again, to be more specific, it's actually called this group of microbes that actually metabolize the estrogen. It's called the balloon. So it actually can modulate your level of estrogen in your body. So when your gut microbiome is actually healthy, this collection of microbes makes the correct of enzyme. The glucuronidase, which actually keeps the estrogen levels in homeostasis. And how clever is that? You know, so again, the power of the microbes, they really know what they're meant to be doing. There's so many jobs in the body. You just got to have the right, you've got to keep them healthy and have good variety. So any dysbiosis in your gut, so the imbalance of microbes, can alter this. And the whole balancing act. So and that can be, you know, lead to the long-term obesity, your kind of cardiovascular disease, your osteoporosis, So, once again, you know, looking at your diversity in your gut, giving it the right food. It's very interesting, you know, when they're doing research on having a look at your the human microbiome. You know, there's like 500 different, you know, types of microbes in that. But we get cultures like the cultures that have much better diet and lifestyle than us, you know, like in different islands, places like that, and the medicine diets, and you know, they're looking at their gut, they're made up of at least 3 or 4 times more diversity of microbes we have. So, you know, just knowing how diversity is used in you know, in health of our microbes. So, you know, maybe we recap what causes the increases in our getting this gut issue. So we go back to lack of physical activity, your stress, how you deal with stress, your age, your genetic makeup, smoking, alcohol, drugs, antibiotics are huge in affecting that. So obviously your diet, your poor diet, so lots of processed foods, not enough fiber, your environment, toxins. Yeah, so they're all huge part of it. Your gut, but, you know, the take-home message would obviously be look at your diet, look at your lifestyle, look at the environment. So when you improve your gut health, your microbes, again, being diversified, they also have to detoxify. Remember I said that they're part of getting rid of your toxins. They're also the gatekeepers of your nutrients, how much nutrients you're meant to be getting, what needs to be blocked out. Your liver and your kidneys, so you have to help look to eliminate it. And your intestinal health, so having foods to feed your intestinal walls, so basically your soluble, your resistant starches, actually when the gut feed on them, they make short chain fatty acids, which then strengthens the walls of your strengthens the cells, your gut lining. Clean eating, so you know where you can clean your fruits and vegetables really well, where you can get organics, especially in my Facebook page, actually, my Foodie Farms' Facebook page, I posted the current 30,000 and Clean 15, so have a look at that. I would definitely be getting organics in the Dirty Dozen, and then, you know, in the rest, you know, just wash well with either vinegar soap with veggie wash. Movement, you know, really important, that lymphatic system, you know, if you have movement going, you want to remove the weight, make sure you're helping it remove your waste, otherwise it will reabsorb into your system. Using your body fat, you know, I mentioned about the controlling your insulin resistance for the type of food that you eat, not much processed carbs. Just having more of the good carbs, your vegetables and that, because that insulin, it's really controlling that insulin, it's really, really important. Stress management, meditation actually has been shown in the study to be as effective as HRT. So instead of going for your hormone replacement therapy, which is you will look at with all the possible side effects of it. Meditation is going to work as well. So again, you know, the gratefulness, meditation, mindfulness, yoga, a bit of Tai Chi, a bit of Qigong, there's a few different options, but you know, try and balance your sympathetic parasympathetic system. Do it on a day-to-day basis. Try and put a time every hour just to take 4 or 5 deep breaths. Do dynamic breathing. Just get yourself a habit of just the time you're conscious of. Focus on your breathing, because again, you're taking that chatter off your brain while you're focusing on your breathing, and you get that breathing happening. You're trying to reset your sympathetic nervous system, which is all linked in again to your cortisol, and you know, and this goes on. So, so that's basically it in a nutshell. But you know, we can discuss any questions you might have as well.
Yeah, so obviously listening, I mean, I was amazed at how complex it actually is and how much it's run through that. Obviously, with the toxins in our environment, it's very, very hard for us to avoid those. It's pretty well impossible, actually, to avoid those. But since we've been doing this podcast, I do have to say, I have changed my diet. You will be glad to hear. So I'm now having like a porridge in the morning for breakfast. And my lunch is usually, at the moment, the weather's perfect for it. So I'm usually having soup. It's a vegetable soup, which has got about 2.5 serves of veggies in it. So that's kind of what I'm aiming for. And then obviously nighttime is some sort of usually white meat with a nice big serve of veggies again and some Greek yogurt in between. So, and I'm actually finding, surprise, surprise, I'm actually finding that I'm feeling so much better. Like within the first 2-3 days of being on it, I've switched up some of the coffee. So I'm only having a couple of coffees in the morning now. So I'm not having my 20-30 that I used to have. So I've switched up some of those, and I've actually replaced that with a drink bottle. And I'm basically putting like a very small amount of aloe vera juice in it, and the rest water, and topping it up with water. And I'm drinking 2-3 of those a day. Plus, like I said, plus the coffee in the morning. But I noticed the first 2 or 3 days, I actually felt, my body felt, I'm going to say the word lighter. I didn't feel as heavy, as bloated as anything as what I had done previously. And now, like I said, I'm just in, I think I'm on the 2.5 week mark now, I'm going to say, on doing this. And like I said, the difference has been really good. Like my energy levels are a lot better. I think my stress levels are a lot better. Only for the fact that when things pop up now, I can either A, see the funny side of them, or B, I think, oh, I'm just not taking that. I don't need it. So I'm just basically not taking it on or making it into something that I shouldn't and overthinking it. But the difference has actually been really, really good. So I guess the question I would have is, we touched a little bit on insulin resistance. So for someone who, obviously, I'm not menopausal, I don't think I'm premenopausal, but I do have polycystic ovarian syndrome. I have had it for 25, 30 years that I've known of. And obviously insulin resistance is a big thing for that. And so I guess from the insulin resistance point of view, could you just touch on that a little bit more for us, just to explain that?
Yes, so obviously with that, insulin resistance is your body is making the insulin, but it's not responsive. So one of the best ways with insulin resistance is obviously to reduce the amount of need for your body to use insulin. So when you have anything that breaks down to sugars, so you know, your carbs, especially your refined carbs, and the other words, because you get a high influx of sugars when you eat those. So it needs insulin to then convert it, you know, to usable usable energy. So basically, with that insulin resistance, your body more insulin because it's thinking it's not working, and insulin is not converting the sugars, so that's why you get the high sugars. So you're eating so one thing is when I was talking about so I'll just mention diet. So obviously, if you have a diet that releases less of this breakdown into sugar, instant high the sugar, then you are basically giving your pancreas stress from having to pump up. So it you know, it gives it a rest, it gives it time to repair, it gives it time to be more responsive. Another thing was cortisol. It's amazing how that stress, constant stress that then creates that amount of cortisol. Now, cortisol and insulin has this tug of war. If you think of the opposite ends of each other pulling each other. So basically when you've got insulin pulling your cortisol, that high cortisol levels, it keeps pulling your insulin. Again, it's making your body wanting to make more insulin because it's being pulled away. And, you know, and that again has another, comes from another end, actually, you know, putting on your pancreas insulin. So, you know, again, it's that approach of, you know, manage your stress. It is so important. But it's good to see that gut health, you know, again, if they go hand in hand, if you have a good diet with gut health, that affects your emotional health, which again can help with stress. You know, so you can do it both ways. You can learn some stress management techniques and also improve your diet, and you've got this two-way effect each other, and you know, it's very powerful when you do the two together to just address that gut issue, because it's the honestly, if you look after your gut, then my obviously in you know, in health, in peak form, in to do all the jobs, like you mentioned, it's such a complicated process when you look at the body and what it does. And if we look at every single pathway, it's impossible to plug out and try and correct every single pathway. But these microbes, they play a role in every single function. You know, if we have them, and all we need to do is give them a good place to live. I suppose I like to give the analogy of, you know, if you were in a desert, a desert in a desert with nothing, right? And it's nothing to grow. It's pretty. In a desert way, you would fight for whatever you've got. You would be, you know, everything would be dying off, and you know, you're always in that fight because in that survival mode, and you know. But imagine if you were left in a lush forest where there's lots to eat and lots of stuff to feed on. How much more, you know, you can do a lot of functions. You'll be able, so your bacteria is the same. If you give them a rainforest in your gut, they're going to thrive. They're going to do their job better. And they're going to have, you know, ability to grow and breed and, you know, do their jobs and then be, you know, struggling. You know, like changing your diet to a lot more vegetables. You know, we can do little ways like that. Just increase your vegetables, cut out all your junk food. When you're speaking about the, you know, the environmental stuff, I know it's a lot to take in. We can't avoid some of the things that are out. Filter our water. You know, that takes out the toxins. We can wash vegetables. We can, you know, maybe buy one organic. I really buy organic thing, like more like, you know, for the spinach, you know, the broccoli, the cauliflowers and stuff like that, and the cabbage. You don't really need to put them in a bit of vegetable, you know. So it doesn't have to be expensive, but you can be selective. Some you buy your shampoos and conditioners. Just look at the labels. Just make sure they're paraben-free, phthalate-free. You know, you can look up a lot of them now in supermarkets that they're marketing at least reducing a few of those things. So you can start reducing them. It still reduces the load, you know, on our system. The detergents that we use, we're washing our dishes, and you know, the amount of stuff that, you know, those, you know, when you're washing in hot water and you're inhaling it, and it's on your hands and it's absorbing, and you know, we can just change things. It doesn't have to be all at once. Every time you buy the new replace one, go and have a look, read the labels, just make sure you know it's better for you. And really, the supermarkets, they know what bunnies. There's a demand for it, so they're stocking them as well. So it doesn't have to be expensive.
Yeah, I love the fact that the supermarkets now are coming on board. They're realising that people want this change and people want the healthier choice. So they're actually coming on board with a lot of things now, and they're giving you the options, and they have the products, like you said, in which to be able to, you know, start making those changes bit by bit. So you mentioned about parabens, and what was the other one for us to check for?
You can Google, I've got it in my book, but you can Google a lot of these. And I think, what's his name? Peter Dingle. He's written a book on it as well. So just on cosmetics and skincare and that, and all toxins. But you can Google all the toxins that are in your skincare. But a lot of the supermarkets, what they're stocking is they're basically just write, and you've got like your shampoos and conditioners as well, they're SLS free, so your sodium lauryl sulfate free, you know, paraben free. The phthalates. The other thing is your triclosans, your antibacterial washes. My gosh, they are one of the huge endocrine disruptors, and really, really, and you know, besides that, they put them in your alcohol base. You know, we all use that to sterilize a hand. I would just say with your children, because that's alcohol they're absorbing through their skin, you know. High amounts of alcohol, and you know, they're using it a few times during the day. That's scary, you know. And you know, just think about it, because you know, it's not, there are alternatives as well now. They're alcohol free ones, they're using herbs and that you can use, you know, to that are, you know, that you don't have to wash, that you just pump on and rub on your hands. So, I think just a bit more be aware when you use these things, if you use it for skin, is just as harmful as what you're eating as well. So think of it as, you know, it is causing an extra load on all your detox pathways. So if they're causing such a load on them, then they're not doing the job they're meant to do. So that's when you get all your diseases and that. So your detox is really, really important.
Whilst we're talking about that, something a little bit off track, but it was something that I learned a little while ago. I mean, I'm a person that loves a bath. There's nothing nicer than climbing into that nice bath and putting on some music and a little bit of a candle and just sitting and relaxing and, you know, just breathing whatever aromatherapy, you know, oil you've actually got in the bath at the time. And it was actually a water study that I actually sat and watched, and it was talking about obviously all the toxins that are actually in our water. And one of the comments that they were talking about is drinking, obviously, and cooking with it and stuff like that. But one of the things that got brought up was the differences between showers and baths. And they were talking about the fact that whilst we're actually lying in that bath completely immersed in it, our entire body immersed in usually warm or hot water, our pores are all open, and that water is just seeping through with all its chemicals, all its bits and pieces into our body. Whereas in a shower, it's kind of running off us. So even though we're still getting some of it, we're not getting as much as what we are in a bath. And I thought, it just, like, I was a little bit shocked. It made sense, but I was a little bit shocked at it. And I was like, I really like baths. Yeah. But apparently you can get filters and stuff to go on your showers and on your baths as well.
Absolutely. I actually have one shower. It's actually takes out all the, especially the chlorine and that, because, you know, chlorine is one of those things that fights with your, and the fluoride they put in the water, but they basically fight with your iodine in your system. And, you know, we are so iodine deficient as a community as well, because they used to use that instead of bromide and that, you know, when they made bread and, you know, and so, you know, over the years, our soil is deficient. We're not getting enough food source. So that iodine is, again, a big part of thyroid function. Again, affecting the hormones and, you know, and the list goes on. So it is, you know, the nutrients are such a big part of our health. So, yeah, so with chlorine, it blocks your iodine. So, you know, and we're already low in iodine. So, yeah, I use a filter. I try and I use a water filter. you know, little thing, you can, you know, I know it seems to be, it might seem a bit overwhelming, but, you know, start little, start, like I said, replacing what you have to replace with all these extra toxins and that, and go from there. And, you know, the trouble with toxins is it's not always obvious, so we don't think it's affecting us. You know, and that's the scary part, especially, you know, through our food, that we don't, you know, but small amounts can actually accumulate, and I mean, small amounts make big differences, but they also accumulate in the system if your, you know, detox pathways aren't working, and, you know, so, and that's the trouble. It's so insidious. It's so, it's like it hides under this little, you know, it's masquerading away, and it's like hiding away, and we don't realize that it's actually, you know, making such a big impact on our health. Yeah. So, yep, good idea with the. I think with the bath as well. Ideally, if you can afford it, put a system that comes into your mains, into your water. It takes care of everything, and then in your bath, some magnesium chloride flakes, some essential oils. And you're laughing, isn't it? You've got all this good stuff going in.
I know. And that's what I thought. Every time I've done it, I thought, okay, put the salt in, so I'm cleansing everything, and this is great. And then when I watched this video, I was like, really? And I thought, I'm lying there thinking I'm, you know, doing my body this massive service of, you know, relaxing it and loosening it up and giving it some self-care. And what I'm actually doing is absorbing all this stuff I shouldn't be absorbing into my body whilst I'm lying there. And I'm like, no. So I haven't had a bath since. I will say I haven't had a bath since. But showers, I do have showers, people. But obviously, like I said, there's so many things out there that it's just, and it does get a little overwhelming at the same point. Like you said, it's funny how we'll spend, say, $40 or $50 for some cream for our face that's going to make us apparently look 10 years younger. And yet, it contains things that are just not doing our body any good at all. So obviously, if it contains things that we then absorb, like the poisons and the chemicals and stuff from it, our body's going to age quicker.
Yes. And it's, again, the skin ages with your how your body is getting rid of toxins. It's to do with your the oxidative pathways. So when something oxidizes, it ages, right? You know, you cut an apple, it oxidizes, it goes brown. So, you know, that oxidative pathways in your body, again, it's all, you know, to do with your gut function and your load on your gut and your microbes and, you know, all those. So looking after you, making sure you're getting enough nutrients. So it's like, again, it's, you know, if you're getting all the right nutrients and you're controlling all these oxidative processes and your, you know, free radical damage, things like that, then your cells are going to age. So you're going to create better, you know, your that. So it's not, you pass it on as much on your skin as possible, but it's what's buying your cells and that, you know. You know, remake cells when you, so really go really simple on your skincare, but take care of your body so that it will stop all this oxidative damage and your aging and but, you know, so you're making sure you're getting your nutrients with your fish oils are important, your magnesium, your zinc is so important for skin and repair, and your oils are really good for all the integrity of your cells, your magnesium to keep all nice and plump, it needs to absorb, you know, water into yourself, you know, so all your basic nutrients.
I think this sounds like a completely another podcast that we could do on how you can actually look younger but not spend an absolute fortune on it and feel young on the inside and the outside, because I think that's the difference. You know, we put all this stuff on the outside and the inside we feel 110, on the outside we're trying to look 30 or 40. So yeah. So I think that could be another podcast we could do. We'll talk about that when we stop recording. Okay, thank you very, very much, Geraldine, for coming on today and for giving us your expert advice on the hormones and the gut health and that side of it. It's been really interesting. I must admit, I've learned some new things. So thank you so much for coming on and for giving us your time today.
My pleasure, Susan.